Welcome to National Bugle Radio. I love that music. It really gets me going. That was Gene Shepherd's theme song on his WOR radio show that he had from the 1950s through the 1970s. It broadcasts out of New York. I used to listen to it as a kid. I loved that. I loved the introduction. It always. Now, he was fun, and he would come on. He would actually even sometimes hum or sing along with the theme music. I think I tried that earlier this week, and he wasn't doing it by Skype. When you do it by Skype, there might be a half a second lag, which you wouldn't notice in a conversation, but you do notice if it's music. If you're half a second behind in a musical number, you just don't sound right. So I will withhold my humming and singing along with the theme music. But that was Gene Shepherd. So today we are going to be talking, we're going to start the show. We will take callers and that later on in the show. That number's 800-313-9443. We'll take callers later in the show. We're going to start off the show. We do have William from Montana, and I believe he's connected with us right now. William, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, thank you for agreeing to come on the show. And we've done a few National Bugle podcasts in the past, talking a lot about foreign policy, the foreign policy team. We had one specifically where you were presenting a lot of information about H.R. McMaster, the National Security Advisor, and also some of the other top generals, including General Mattis, the Secretary of Defense. And I wanted you to come on the show today because there's been a lot going on with foreign policy. It's been a little bit buried because of Las Vegas, because of the NFL, because of Charlottesville, because of all sorts of things. But there's a lot going on, and we're dangerously close to a war that could start in a variety of locations around the world, Middle East, in Eastern Europe, Ukraine, North Korea, who knows? And there's a great deal of danger. And there was an article from NBC News, this I believe is October 5th, so this is yesterday, last night, and the headline is Tillerson summoned to White House amid presidential fury. The crux of the article is that there's been a lot of dissent so far in these past nine and a half months that the administration's been around, or 8.5 months, and there's seems to be evolving, or having already evolved, foreign policy factions, these factions in the foreign policy establishment. And the foreign policy team got off to a really bad start when 2 or 3 weeks into the administration, General Flynn, who would have been one of the more level-headed people, he seemed to be somebody level-headed, somebody who wanted to have a good relationship with Russia. You know, there's no reason not to. Unless you're a Jewish tribalist who resents Vladimir Putin for having largely taken back Russia from the Jewish oligarchs who had seized the country during the 1990s. Flynn was out. McMaster was in. McMaster seems pretty much a neocon. I want your take on it, because I know you've done very detailed research, including reading General McMaster's dissertation when he was at the University of North Carolina.
The one thing about this, you know, how to approach this, I mean, you know, Tillerson has come out and said that this is fake news, that he never referred to Trump as a moron. And he also was not on the verge and never has been on the verge of, you know, quitting. And that the whole story about, you know, Mike Pence, the vice president, coming up and saying, please don't desert Trump, that also he denied that. And you have to see it from his point of view. I mean, he has not, he's Secretary of State, and he doesn't really have a staff yet. You know, he has been thwarted by the Congress and even by members of the, you know, administration, mm-hmm. not particularly Donald Trump, but other members of the administration really have tried to wrest away from the Secretary of State the powers and the negotiating power that was really pretty much, you know, that's what the Secretary of State does. Mm-hmm. And there are elements within the Trump administration, inside the administration and also in Congress, that really hasn't given Tillerson a full staff and a full leeway to actually do what he needs to do. And so a lot of the...
And I
want
to ask you...
Yeah,
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I want to ask you, it's my understanding that there's somebody in the White House who is largely in charge of vetting for personnel, and that this person has been dragging his heels on potential appointments to the State Department, and that Tillerson has confronted him furiously.
And I think that this is, you know, there's more than just one, you know, because, you know, the State Department Secretary of State has a lot of power. And there, you know, one of the things about Trump's administration is, you know, he was kind of an outsider. He wasn't an outsider to wheeling and dealing, but he was an outsider in the way things go down in D.C. And, you know, as we all had faith, we were hoping that he was going to clean up the swamp. But the swamp was a little bit deeper and a little bit muckier than I think even Donald Trump could imagine. And so this, you know, pointing the finger at the big rift between Tillerson and Trump, I don't really believe that that is true. And he certainly denied it today. And I think that, you know, to deconstruct, you know, the forces within and without the administration that are trying to thwart this administration, including Tillerson, I think is a very deep subject. You know, who knows? I do know, though, I'm pretty sure that this was, you know, I think, I don't know where the story was first broke. It was NBC, but it was also, I think, Huffington Post came on board to fan the flames. And, you know, I do believe that when Tillerson came out and denied that this really actually happened, I believe that that's probably more the truth. No.
So, you know, I don't have any, you know, secret moles in the White House or the State Department who can tell me what's really going on there. I was interested in the NBC story, and of course I have to take everything they say with a grain of salt, so I don't know.
Sure.
But it seemed to be portraying factions. Now, Tillerson's somebody who I've had a pretty good feeling about from the get-go. He, as head of ExxonMobil, it was his responsibility to deal with Russia, and he's got a personal relationship with Vladimir Putin. I shouldn't say personal, a business relationship with him, which is what
he
won
the highest award, the highest civilian award that Russia gives for, you know, promoting peace and cooperation. Mm-hmm. And he was over in Russia as you know, an oilman, saying that we can help you develop this oil resources. And I think, you know, there were forces within, I think, intelligent forces within the Russian government that said, yes, we're a little bit behind, but I think we want to do this ourselves. Because when they looked at, you know, all of these interlocking, you know, conglomerates and board of directors, they realized that as the one just joining the club, they may not fare as well. So there were forces, even though there was a very peaceful and cooperative spirit there, and they were more than willing to enter into associations for technology sharing, they really wanted to retain their own development process, even though they were a little bit behind. And, you know, people have made mention that there was a falling out, and Tillerson came to his senses and joined the, you know, dump Russia and demonize Russia. But I don't really think even any of that stuff really carries mm-hmm. a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm. And so this article, among other things, it seems to portray Mattis and General Kelly, who had been Secretary of Homeland Security, now he's the Chief of Staff sure. at the White House, as being Tillerson allies, which, you know, I was a little unsure about those two. I wasn't sure where to categorize them. There's certainly a very hawkish faction. I probably would put, well, I would put, and you can correct me if you think I'm wrong or want to modify it in any way. It seems to me that McMaster is a hawk. Nikki Haley will say whatever the Jewish media or the Jewish powers that be want her to. I mean, she is just the most warmongering person that I've seen in public life, really. When you may, I don't know, maybe there's some others who are just as maximally warmongering as her, but it's just, she's amazing. And there are others. There's this Dina Powell, young Egyptian born woman who comes from Goldman Sachs, and I don't know if she has much of a foreign policy background, and I don't think at Goldman Sachs she was making a lot of financial decisions, but probably we shouldn't just write her off as being as some sort of bimbo. She probably has a certain skill set and apparently has a connection to the to Ivanka and to Jared Kushner.
Well, and mentioning Dina Powell
who's the assistant national security advisor.
Yeah, I mean, she is in an entirely different class than Nikki Haley. I think I look at Nikki Haley as noise on the line. I mean, I'm not even sure that she's a key player. She countermands things that Trump says and that Tillerson has said, and it's like she's on her own, you know, her own little team. And I never put that much, you know, of course I listened to it because you have to, she's a player, but I don't think she's a key player, and she certainly mm-hmm. isn't in the same class as Dina Powell.
But is very much in the limelight, more in the limelight than Dina Powell or anyone else.
I sometimes have the feeling that she was put in there almost to show how little a regard Trump really has for the functioning of the United Nations. I mean, if you listen to some of his comments, he doesn't really feel that this is a real key body that can really do effective change that's going to be for our benefit. And I just, you know, like I say, now we can talk about Dina Powell, and she is a player, and she is also very connected. And I've watched her career, and I've watched what she's done. I mean, she's been around for a while when she was at Goldman Sachs. I mean, she was playing some very heavy support for who we now refer to as the neocons. And she,
so what
you know,
was she doing at? What was her position at Goldman Sachs?
When she was at Goldman Sachs, she was an advisor for global. I have it somewhere in my files. Her technical title, but she specialized in personnel. I mean, she specialized in finding who were the key players in various countries and various, business organizations to be dealt with and to be spoken to. And so she also was, as she started playing a bigger and bigger role in government, she was there, supporting a lot of people, including Condoleezza Rice, way back when, and she was also there assisting, often unofficially, in putting the prominent neocons in contact with other prominent players on the international stage. So even though she did many things that just her title would not indicate, she did more, and what she was a master at was she had the ears of many people in government, and they knew that if they needed to find out about who was a player and who they needed to talk to get something done, you could go see Dina Powell, and she would know what she would know. And this is especially true in the Middle East because, she was born, in Egypt and grew up there.
To a Coptic Christian family, I believe.
Yes. And she came into the White House through Jared Kushner and Ivanka. Because she was their, she was their banker in many respects. And she was also the one who got someone into the Trump administration. I know we talked about my concern when, McMaster's, before he was confirmed, I thought, whoa, that is a real red light. But even more so was another guy that Dina Powell got into the White House that really blew me away, and that was Gary Cohn.
Mm-hmm. And so you're saying Dina Powell was instrumental in getting Cohn into the White House and not vice versa?
Without a doubt, because, they worked together, their fellow Goldman Sachs. And that was the thing that I was like, what? Do you know who Gary Cohn is? I mean, he is not a Republican. His sympathies are with the Democrats, with the globalists. And the fact that he came in as an economic advisor, he was brought in because, he was recommended by Dina Powell.
Wow. I wouldn't have guessed that it was she who recommended him and not the other way around.
Well, yeah, and what's interesting is who really knows? The one thing that you can say about the Trump administration is from the outside, there has been certainly a disarray. And many of us thought that was okay because many people were hoping that Trump was going to not be business as usual. And so there was a tolerance that was afforded him of saying, well, he's doing things differently. He's shaking things up. But, as I started seeing, who was stacking up on the staff, I almost, said, with friends and support, staff like that, who needs enemies?
So you've got Dina Powell. Gary Cohn is not on the foreign policy team, but I do recall this photograph of Trump and his team when I think maybe they were supposedly making the decision to strike Syria, and Cohn was
he was in the room.
He was in the room. And Dina Powell was in the room, too. She was, as Assistant National Security Advisor, I guess you would expect that.
I would say that
endless corruption running rampant throughout our government. Independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Back in with William from Montana, and we've been we were talking during the break about the factions within the Trump administration and whether or not Rex Tillerson actually called Donald Trump a moron. And I was saying that, well, I don't know, but if he did, and he's still in the administration, that's a good thing. I think Donald Trump needs people who can stand up to him and say, you're being stupid. And he's going to be stupid a lot, because every time he follows the advice of, you know, the bulk of his cabinet or the bulk of his administration, he's going to be doing stupid things. And he desperately needs somebody who is a peer. You know, Donald Trump was a successful businessman. Rex Tillerson was a more successful businessman as leader of somebody who worked his way up, not inheriting, you know, even $1 million from his father, but working his way up as an engineer in ExxonMobil and then leading the world's largest company, more successful. And Donald Trump needs somebody who can tell him when he's being stupid. And if this is what happened, if Rex Tillerson called him a moron, and rightly so, because Trump has acted moronic at times, and Tillerson's still in the administration, it shows that Trump, despite his public persona of being very thin-skinned and not being able to take criticism, maybe he can, and maybe he can learn from his mistakes. So to me, it would be a good sign.
And I sort of think, you know, I go with what Rex Tillerson said today, which was basically he denied that this story, that he did not call the president a moron, and that he wasn't persuaded by Mike Pence, the vice president, to stay on because he was never really thinking about resigning. And I think that this is more, he called it, or one of his associates, one of his spokesmen called it just fake news that was put there to basically portray the Trump administration that it was in shambles. You know, and this is a common theme that is, you know, all of the leaks, whether they are true or whether they are fabricated, that's a common theme to try to show this, you know, that the Trump administration is disarray. And I think one of the some of the other commentators on this said that, you know, Tillerson has been in an incredibly frustrating place because he has been thwarted not only by elements within the Trump administration but by Congress in being given a full house of staff to actually do his business. And I think that, you know, when he says that he didn't do this and when members of his spokesmen in his office said that this was, you know, basically categorically false, this rumor, I would go with that. You know, has there been tension between Tillerson and Trump? Yes, because this is very difficult times and there are a lot of forces within the administration and within Congress that make things very difficult. You know, if you've been watching the things, you know, I was categorizing all summer long, you know, the statements, Tillerson would say one thing, and then the White House would say something else, almost on the same day. And I think that's very frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we are coming up on another break. We'll be back after the break, and we will take calls at 1-800-313-9443. Back after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited. So take a breath, head to aroutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at aroutfitting.com.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Back. Those are the smooth sounds of Filbert Applebag. We're back with William from Montana. We've been talking about Trump's foreign policy team. And when Trump was on the election trail, in spite of his natural tendency to sound kind of belligerent when he talks, if you actually examine the substance of his pronouncements on foreign policy, hey, why would we want to start World War III over Syria? Wouldn't it be great if we could get along with Russia? You know, there's certain things that he said. You know, he'd be talking about the Iran deal as the worst thing that ever happened, the stupidest deal. But even then, when you sometimes you'd listen to the contents of what he'd say, it was like it was a bad deal because American companies didn't get anything out of it. All the European companies are coming out, they're getting all the prizes, and we're not getting anything. It was something. I mean, he had made those points at least one of his speeches. And so, I supported him early because of the prospect for the foreign policy, as well as the prospect for a turnaround in the immigration situation. And then, you know, when he was putting together his cabinet, by and large, you know, they were just establishment Republicans. It wasn't anything to be excited about. But in the foreign policy, you know, I thought Tillerson was a good choice, and General Flynn for National Security Advisor seemed to be a good choice. Although it's not directly foreign policy, Jeff Sessions seemed to be solid in that area. I didn't know what to think exactly of Mattis. But then you had also people like Steve Bannon, who on a whole seemed to be giving good advice, at least regarding foreign policy. And Sebastian Gorka, I'd see him on TV. And I don't know all his positions, but in general, it seemed to be a reasonably solid team, and certainly a massive improvement over the Obama administration and what would have been the Hillary Clinton administration. But here we go. We've got Flynn is out, and Bannon's out, and Gorka's out. And so, you know, we don't have a lot left. And on the other hand, you've got what seems to be the opposition to Trump's foreign policy from within the administration. And, you know, we've talked about McMaster there, and we've talked about Nikki Haley. Well, what about the generals? Because you've done a lot of research on the generals, including reading dissertations. You also read General Petraeus's dissertation. Was he at Princeton when he wrote it?
I believe so. I would have to check my notes, but... Yeah, I think that, you know, Donald Trump got in there saying that he was going to go there and clean out the swamp. And a lot of people said, yay, the swamp needs to be cleaned out unless you come over to our part of the swamp. And then that's different. And I would say that in the last section you mentioned when we were talking about possible forces within the administration that we're not working, you know, together to support Tillerson and even to support Trump. You mentioned the generals, and our association began when you interviewed me on some of the research that I had done on McMaster, and I brought this to your attention on some network that I called in on, because this was a real concern of mine, because I knew a lot about McMaster and also Petraeus, who really isn't on the scene, obviously, but he's definitely has been resurrected behind the scenes, and he and Mattis and McMaster were in Iraq, and they became very distrustful of administrations in general in terms of getting good information to soldiers in the field. And they all mentioned this and said that the problem with the electoral process is that they bring newbies to the scene. You know, the people elect people based upon their political, you know, popularity, and that doesn't mean that these people really know what's happening. And they all believe that the generals, you know, had better continuity. They kept their positions and their knowledge across administrations, and there became this attitude that maybe we need to take a little bit more control to protect our countries from the enemies that these new presidents may not even be familiar with. And so that definitely is a force within the Trump administration, of these generals saying, we really need to have a little more leeway in driving foreign policy. We don't want to, turn that over to a civilian. And so there definitely has been tension behind the scenes. You know, I am not a fly on the wall. I don't know the details, but you can infer that there's been tensions of these generals saying, we need to be the ones that conduct foreign policy when it relates with our enemies. And you definitely saw this in the you know, bombing of Syria and the accusations that we had to do that because, you know, they did a very bad thing with using chemical weapons. And if you saw that picture of who was in the room when supposedly those decisions were going down, it was a very strange hodgepodge. You know, Dina Powell is, you know, one of her titles. She's, what is it, assistant, you know, security council director or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it was like, what is she doing in there? And what is Gary Cohen doing in there?
And Steven Mnuchin.
Yes. And it's like, you know, who is running the show? And what is their goal? And is it good for us? I mean, you really, the Secretary of State really should be the single voice. He's supposed to get with the president and execute his policies, and you need to have a strong Secretary of State so that there's a clearinghouse, you know, a clear, you know, single voice clearinghouse for this stuff, because it puts noise on the line for everybody. It's not just, you know, our disappointment. If you follow the Russian political scene like I do, and you listen to the Russian political commentators, they were saying, who knows what's going on? You know, this is a dangerous situation where one part of the administration says one thing, and in the same day, you hear just the opposite. Now, Nikki Haley, you know, I don't even give her the time of day. But I'm talking about other people in the administration, and, you know, especially some of the Russian Lavrov and other people have said, this is unprecedented in terms of how confusing. You know, you don't want international, you know, communications. You want to try to, even though you have different goals and you are maybe even in total opposition, you want at least to have the speech to be clear, you know, mm-hmm. and authoritative. And that has been missing, and I think that's why we are in real danger, because who knows what is really mm-hmm. happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, Nikki Haley, I don't take her seriously as a foreign policy, you know, as a policy person, but she is in a position where she's in the public eye, and she can change what the narrative of the news cycle is, and
yes.
she's done this, and so she's very dangerous in that way. Now, regarding you typically want to have the Secretary of State be the voice for foreign policy, but if you go back over the past 50 years, you have had sometimes in some administrations you've had rivalries between the Secretary of State and somebody else, like a National Security Advisor, and Kissinger. In the first Nixon administration, the first term, he overshadowed William Rogers and eventually replaced him, while all at the same time keeping his position as National Security Advisor. And then in the Carter administration, you had Zbigniew Brzezinski as head of the National Security Council, and he seemed to overshadow Cyrus Vance, who resigned with, what, about 10 months left in the first term. So
sure.
You do have that, and right now it would seem that you've got this rivalry between McMaster and Tillerson, and sometimes McMaster seems to be having the upper hand. I don't understand why generals would have wanted to go along with this Syria thing. Yet here's something, you know, when you have. You mentioned that the generals don't like having these, you know, elected officials coming in being newbies and expecting to run the foreign policy. But what you have is you've got elected officials who are the gatekeepers to those stars on their epaulets. Is that what you call them? The stars
yep,
on their shoulder.
Yep.
You, in order to become a general, to get your stars, you have to be approved by the Senate. All these people have been vetted, and they've been vetted for, I mean, anybody who's really an independent thinker is going to be weeded out. It's hard. Maybe General Flynn, I don't know if he was really as much of an independent thinker as I would like to assume he was. But he seems to be much more the exception than the rule. Do you think that's the case? Am I characterizing this correctly?
Well, a great example of what you're talking about is when you know, Bush was starting to get into trouble, and one of the great ways George Bush Jr. was getting into trouble over his war, and Congress kept asking him, you know, how much longer are we going to be there? And so he was starting to try to figure out, you know, how to work around this. And one of the ways in which, presidents, sort of take the heat off of them is they go looking for a hero. And so McMaster famously had this great, was behind this a great battle that, did this, and this. And so he was being groomed to be a hero. And so they wanted him. They wanted the Joint Chiefs of Staff to promote him from colonel to a general, and they wouldn't do it. They said, you know, this guy is a little bit off the wall. And the reason that they based this on was his thesis, where he accused the chief general staff of blowing the Vietnam War, and so they passed over him. And Bush actually had to bring Petraeus back from Iraq when he came back to answer questions in Congress to give McMaster his first star, because they couldn't get it. He couldn't get it through the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And so Bush brought Petraeus back. He gave him his star, and that was the beginning of McMaster, Petraeus gave McMaster his first star, or presided over the tribunal that recommended it. And that was where this formation of Petraeus, Mattis, and McMaster's got started. And it was facing off not only with the politicians or the Congress, but facing off with the general staff. Because the general staff, members of the general staff said, we are very unsure and apprehensive about a colonel who is saying that in certain situations he didn't have to follow the orders from the general staff. And McMaster in many ways implied that many times. And that in the military just doesn't fly.
Right. So I mentioned that I wasn't quite sure what to think of Mattis. This NBC article seemed to portray him as a Tillerson ally. What do you think? Do you think he's allied with one side or the other, or how do you think he plays?
I think he's, this is hard for me to say because I have lots of stuff on Mattis, but, you know, Mattis is a career general, and he's been in the trenches, both not only as a soldier, but as a general, which means the trenches of Congress and the trenches of political, heat. And so he knows a lot about this, and he knows that in order to have a well-oiled machine, you need to have different parts doing their job. And I think he's aware of the fact that Tillerson really doesn't have full control and a full staff of people to do the job of Secretary of State very well, you know. And I'm sure that Mattis believes that, he doesn't want to handle all of that, even though he would like to influence the decisions and directions. He knows that this is a big job, and it's good when all the parts are working in unison. Now, I think McMaster, I just personally feel that he is more of the mind of saying the more control that we have, the better. And that was, you know, the big face-off with Steve Bannon. Now, Steve Bannon, he ran, head against head, with McMaster on many issues. And Steve Bannon was there basically telling Trump not to be so taken over by these recommendations, you know, to think these things through. We don't want to, you know, go against Russia. I mean, Russia was actually, you know, doing in ISIS, you know, and Steve Bannon was there to say, we need to work together. We don't need to follow this rap of demonization of the Russians, because there's many ways. You know, did Steve Bannon trust the Russians? And did he believe that, you know, that Putin was an angel? No. But he said we can maybe get more out of cooperation than this sort of polarizing demonization. And for that, McMaster did not trust Putin or the Russians, and said they were the big enemy. You know, the only reason why he wanted to win in Syria was as a stepping stone to Russia. And, I mean, that is crazy. You know, from my point of view, that's crazy talk. You know, to think that we're going to face off with Russia in what, a nuclear war? Who's going to win that?
Okay, well, we are going up on our last break. We will be back in a couple of minutes for the last part of the show.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks.
Man, that was North Korean music designed to put people to sleep. But it's good. It calms you down. I like it. So we have our last segment here with William from Montana, and you've mentioned General Petraeus a couple of times. Now, he did not get a job in the administration, yet he does seem to have some sort of influence in it. How is that?
Well, we don't need to go into the whole story of his fall from grace. Anyone can look that up. We could get into, why he fell from grace, and it wasn't just, his indiscretions and blah, blah, blah. What it was the fact that he was brought back and he was told to tell the Congress, that we were winning in Iraq, and he could see light at the end of the tunnel, that, just with a little bit longer, a little bit more support in Congress, and we'll be out of there and we will win. And he didn't say that. He came back and said, I think we're going to be in there a lot longer because we're just beginning to learn who we can trust and who we could possibly turn the country over to. And that's not a done deal yet. And when he said that, then he had his fall from grace. But he and Mattis and McMaster, who is really in some many ways his protege, they still have a relationship. That didn't go away. And all three of them came to distrust not only the political wisdom that was coming to them in guiding the Iraq War, but also not only the political wisdom, but also this sort of intelligence agencies, which they came to distrust. And so all three of them and others worked together to set up, in a sense, their own parallel intelligence, because they really needed intelligence on the ground to work that war and to, do the best they could. And so those relationships are still active, even though you don't hear Petraeus he's not a member, but I'm sure that those relationships are still active.
And when Petraeus was the head of the CIA, did he try to shake it up? You said that he didn't trust the intelligence services.
Well, no, this was, when he became in charge of the Iraq War, that was later. And that was when he started distrusting the information that was coming to him and why he tried to set up a parallel intelligence gathering thing as it pertained to the Iraq.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. I'm hearing our swan song. We will be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio. In the meantime, go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and send a donation to keep this network going. See you next week.
Thank you, Dr. Slattery.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.